collection of days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
Good morning. I'm happy to be with you this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Evan Coons. I am the intern around here, so I get the joy of running all things middle school midweek chaos. It's tons of fun, and it's awesome. I love being a part of that. I'm so excited to be with you today, the start of the new year, 2020. I can rest assured this week that no matter what happens in the next 30 minutes, this will be the best sermon of the year, and that makes me feel pretty good. So it'll be a good week for me. With the new year coming around, I was considering some New Year's resolutions. I didn't get super into it this year, so I just thought about like past resolutions because you know how New Year's resolutions work out. But I was thinking of some like past goals I had set for myself. And last year I had this great plan. It was like foolproof. Okay, I had this plan that instead of exercising every single day, which is just ridiculous, I would run the distance of a marathon every month. Now, some of you may think that's pretty lame sauce because you run a marathon every day or every week or whatever, but I am not capable of ever accomplishing a crazy goal like that. It's 26.22 miles is plenty for me to accomplish 12 times a year, all right? I figured in simplifying it to once a month, then it's only like 12 times, right? Like, it makes more sense. It's easier to accomplish. And so I was excited for this goal. But as you probably assume, January 31st came around, and I had to run a full marathon. I had to run a full marathon the last day of January. And so with the reality of this situation, I did what any rational person would do. I took off my running shoes, I threw on my PJs, and I turned on SpongeBob and sat on the couch instead. And so January came and went, and I traded my New Year's resolution for pure laziness. And so today we're going to talk about this very thing, this very issue, this ever-elusive rest that we all crave, finding satisfaction beyond the physical and instead to our souls. And we'll do so first by looking at the rest offered through this world. And then we'll compare it to the promised gift of rest through Christ. We're going to wrestle with this temptation we have for worldly rest, while true rest is where full satisfaction is found. And so before we get into that, I want to read out of Matthew chapter 11. Vince just read it, but I love this passage so much, and I think it's good for us to refocus on what we're going to be digging into this morning. So Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 25, Matthew records, "At that time, Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So come to me, all you who are weary and rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.'" My burden is light. Before we dig into this, let's take a moment to pray. God, just thank you so much for your love at work, God. I just pray that your spirit is alive and active this morning in this community. God, that we are just recognizing ways that we are just searching for satisfaction through the rest of the world, and that we instead turn our attention to you, the true satisfaction found in you alone, God. I just thank you for this time. In your name we pray. Amen. So before we begin, we must first have a basic understanding of rest, a starting ground. And so the first step of rest, of any kind of rest, is to stop, to cease what you are doing completely, to stop whatever you are doing, whatever is happening in your life. No matter what, the first step of rest is just simply to stop. Stop, gain perspective of your situation, what's going on. And so with this, starting ground. We're going to look at worldly rest. Worldly rest. So if the first point of rest is to cease from all that you are doing, well, then the world suggests taking a few different steps concerning how to find satisfaction through rest. Perhaps the most popular step the world suggests to do is through something that will take your mind off of the problem. And so in this, we're told to do something that's like, okay, you're doing this, and that's not restful, so do something else. They'll take your mind off of it. Don't think about it, right? But do you see the problem here? It's pretty simple. All this is distraction. It's just distraction. We're told constantly that through enough distraction, our issues will resolve themselves. And so in this form of worldly rest, we take a very valuable step forward in recognizing our need, right? Because you're at least noticing that, okay, things are a little crazy right now. I need to stop. But then instead of advancing, you just stay stopped, right? But in shoving it off like it doesn't exist, we just remain entirely still. We make no action and run away from growth or improvement. Another form of worldly rest is laziness. Laziness. It's where you do absolutely nothing. So we do take this first step instead of like going in a different direction from there. You just remain stopped. You remain where you are. This term, laziness, used to be pretty offensive in our American culture, especially to be called lazy. But now we hear others boast of being lazy for an entire day, and we get jealous of them. We crave to be able to do nothing for an entire day. Our world loves to suggest that pure inactivity re-energizes somehow. But both of these pursuits are empty. Nothing happens. There's no advancement. You do the first piece of rest, which is to stop, but then you just remain in that stopped position. How does that make any sense in our brains? That's never how we advance or grow in anything. And we know this. I mean, could you imagine planning this big, extravagant road trip? You're so excited to take off. All your bags are packed. Your car tank is full of gas. You're ready to go. You jump out in your car. You turn on your travel tunes on the radio. You start your car, flip it in neutral, and hit the gas pedal. What happens? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You go nowhere, right? Your car starts to rev up, but as long as you're in neutral, you're not going to go anywhere. So you've done absolutely everything you could in the preparation. You even have a snack basket in the passenger seat filled with beef jerky and Jelly Bellies, like all the essentials. But as long as you're in neutral, you're not going to go anywhere. You'll be left in your driveway Googling pictures of the Grand Canyon instead of actually seeing it in person. And many of you are thinking this is possibly the most ridiculous illustration you've ever heard in your life. You're right. That's totally ridiculous. Like, it doesn't make any sense. I think we can all agree on that. So why is that how we operate when it comes to rest? We set aside time to rest. We stop all that we are doing, then we turn on Netflix. We chase these physical answers, hoping that we will gain some type of satisfaction from them. The author of Ecclesiastes, he shares this very similar struggle that he has found himself. And in his pursuit of rest and worldly peace, he chased material gain and physical pleasure. The author had successfully accomplished his earthly material goals. He worked tirelessly, accomplishing all that he could. Every time he saw an issue, he worked relentlessly to find a physical answer. But in the end, it was all considered as nothingness to him. He accomplished every worldly goal that he could dream up. But throughout the writing of Ecclesiastes, the author expands on all of his material accomplishments. Yet they are meaningless to him. He has done all of this work and preparation, but he's found absolutely no rest. The author of this book clearly communicates that this world is passing. All that we physically pursue, it has so little value. He fell into this trap of listening to the world tell him that he could attain some type of satisfaction through material gain. All that he is left desiring in the end is spiritual restoration. But this worldly rest, it's so tempting. Why is it so tempting? We know we're never satisfied, but still, we're tempted, right? We still just want to go home and watch Netflix and fill our faces with food and do all of these physical things. Why do we want these so much more than the other things, even though we are left unsatisfied? See, we're left entirely distracted. Our culture tries to sell us that distraction is actual relief from your problems. And if you distract yourself in every open moment in your life, then all of your problems will kind of just disappear. But trust me when I say that is not true, okay? No matter how much I try to distract myself from the reality of my student loans, they're very real. They are very much there. They will, me distracting them will not magically pay them off, right? No amount of distraction will remove this. And so I think that this physical scenario connects rather well to our spiritual condition that suffers without rest. See, though we are plagued with the material world and constantly confronted with physical consequences of lack of rest, I think that these ultimately point to our spiritual condition. See, Jesus discusses this very thing as he uses a physical example in directing our attention to our underlying need for rest. And so we're going to shift our focus now from worldly rest to rest in Christ. Rest in Christ. This passage in Matthew that we went through. One of the first things we see in this passage is that Christ is the present and eternal completion of rest. He is the present and eternal completion of rest. His authority is given to him by the Father. We read in verse 27, he is in perfect unity with the Father. See, Christ has been given full authority on earth from the Father himself over the Sabbath, over the gift of Sabbath rest. Now, the Sabbath rest was a gift given to Israel by God, right? It was a gift given to them so that they could work 6 days, labor, and then find rest on the seventh. And so Christ, he does not remove this law. Rather, he completes it. He completes it. He makes it possible to rest whenever we need. He makes it possible to escape the weariness of this world at any moment in our lives. We are set free from Sabbath rest through Christ. This gift of the Sabbath was given to the people of Israel, right, as this day to cease from work. And now through Christ, the Sabbath has been completed. He completed single-day Sabbath rest and continued it by extending it as a gift to you. The gift of Sabbath rest is now extended to us wherever we are in life through the work of Christ in fullness of authority from the Father. See, rest in Christ is not only on Sundays. It's not only when you're in this building. It's not only in a church building. It is whenever you are weary in life. It's rest for our souls. This rest for our souls is an everlasting rest. This rest gives us hope and confidence presently that we can trust in the eternal rest we will enter into. We talked about this realization that the author of Ecclesiastes has faced head on in his physical pursuit, in his endless pursuit of this world. Everything is counted as meaningless to him. And all this physical that he accomplished, he realizes it'll just come to pass. It's just going to go away. And this is not the same for our rest in Christ. The spiritual rest found in Christ alone, it is an eternal promise, and it begins now. When we enter in faith in Christ, we begin to taste the satisfaction of spiritual rest that will one day be restored in full. And so Christ fulfills us in ways that this world cannot. His yoke is easy. He uses this illustration of the yoke. His yoke is easy. The yoke of this, in contrast, the yoke of this world is painful. It is heavy. It is burdensome. It weighs us down. But the yoke of Christ is easy. It's light. It's a relief. Now, there may be a physical burden initially in putting the yoke on because due to the sin of this world, you have to kind of find a way to get it on. But when you get it on, you realize it's not loaded with heaviness of this world. It's not as much of a burden. See, rest in Christ, it will not please your sin nature that desires laziness and distraction. It won't please the sin nature, but it will satisfy your soul. It'll satisfy your soul. So yoking with Christ is submitting to his rule and authority of our lives. It is setting your life for his glory and not your own. See, we're all offered restoration from Christ himself. He says that all that are weary are burdened. All that are weary and burdened. Well, who isn't weary or burdened? Right? This is a natural effect of sin, of our sin nature. We are all broken. We are all weary. We are all burdened. So in essence, what Christ is saying is that all of creation is welcome to share in this. This is a gift to all who have faith in him. Rest in Christ is a gift from God in response to the weariness of this world. See, when I read this passage, I'm just struck with the action and initiative of God in his movement of restoring his creation. Do you see his love at work here? Right? He isn't just up in heaven enjoying perfect rest apart from his creation, ignoring all that's going on. He is pursuing you. He sees the weariness of this world. He sees the burdens on your shoulders. Those burdens that are way too heavy for you to carry alone. And he enters into that brokenness. He enters into the burden of this world so that you can find rest. So that you can find rest. See, Christ has consistently pursued you in offering rest. It is for you to practice freely in growing relationship with Christ. And any type of physical result to this is just an added blessing. It's just an added blessing. See, physical blessings are never, ever promised. Physical blessings are never promised. Our simple, basic promise is spiritual rest. This is what we are to hold on to, the spiritual rest. See, in this world, we are constantly charged with accomplishing physical goals, whether they are personal or career goals or whatever. We're faced constantly with physical busyness and stress. But the only satisfaction we can find is through the rest in Christ. And so though this world is constantly moving, we must hold on to this promise of spiritual rest. This spiritual promise is our true need. It's our true need. It's spiritual rest addresses the actual need. It cuts straight to the source of the problem. Admittedly, in my worldly distraction and laziness, a few months ago, I binge-watched a bunch of chiropractor videos on YouTube. Sounds really weird, I know. It doesn't really make sense. But at 2 in the morning, it really sounded good. So I started watching this chiropractor. And these patients would come in, and he'd, like, pop their backs and stuff and fix them, and I just thought that was fun. And so this one patient comes in to the chiropractor, and they go, yeah, my back has just been hurting for years. I've been to multiple chiropractors, and just every time they reset anything, a few days later or hours later, the back pain just starts to flare up again. Like, I can't find relief from it. And so the chiropractor's listening to him, and they go, well, I mean, have you had any major injuries, like, in your life at all? They're like, well, a few years ago, I had this big hip injury, but, like, that was a few years ago, and it's my back that hurts. It's not my hip. That doesn't, you know, those don't connect. And the chiropractor goes, okay, well, let's see what we can do. And so he pulls him aside and realigns the patient's hip. Immediately, the patient notices back relief from this. And they're like, whoa, like, all you did was my hip. And he's like, yeah, your hip was out of line. That's what was causing the back pain. That was the source of all of your pain. No other chiropractor was looking at that. And so my point of sharing this, it has absolutely nothing to do with chiropractors, but my point in sharing this is that the doctor discovered the true area that needed fixing. They've discovered the true area that needed fixing. Though they had all of the symptoms and sought relief through back realignment, the true issue was in their hip. And until their hip was fixed, their back would never be able to find any type of relief. And I think this is so similar to what Jesus does with our spiritual needs. See, we are constantly chasing physical answers, looking forward to material relief. But ultimately, your physical desires will never be satisfied if you do not have spiritual rest. The physical rest offered through the world may relieve weariness for a moment, but it will not address the source of the problem at all. And so this is why we need rest in Christ. This is why we need rest in Christ. The burden of this world is heavy. The burden of this world is heavy. We are all prone to weariness. See, rest in Christ, it brings us fulfillment and satisfaction. And we have to first have the humility to recognize our simple brokenness. From here, we cannot choose mere distraction and acting as if our problems don't exist. We must instead allow this brokenness to remind us of our need for Christ, for His restoration. Because if you fail to recognize your need for saving, then you aren't capable of understanding your need for restoration. See, rest in Christ. Allow Him to take your weariness, to work through your brokenness. Stop climbing the ladder of self-glorification. Just rest. Let Christ be glorified through you. We, along with this earth, will fade, but the living work of Christ is eternal. This is why fulfillment to spiritual rest is greater than any type of physical rest we could ever find. Our physical desires, fueled by this world, they only leave us with continuing weariness. Spiritual rest supplies an actual solution to the issues at hand. And so this is how you can engage and rest in Christ. It's more than reading. It's more than praying. It's more than coming to church every Sunday. These are amazing tools for engaging in spiritual rest. But you have to unite in spirit with Him. Contemplate on the works and words of God. Rejoice in the truth of the gospel. That He left the glory of heaven to enter your brokenness and offer you something you desperately need. So submit to His authority. Your life is not your own. I hear all the time, well, I've been going to church. I've been praying. I've even opened my Bible a few times. But I'm just not finding rest. I'm not finding rest. Well, you have all of the tools. Use them properly. Use them properly. These are amazing tools. Submit to the rule of Christ, His work through you. You can't see the full picture. Your life is not about yourself. It's not about your own glory. It's not about living in your sinful brokenness. So stop. Stop. And submit to the rule of Christ. His authority is brought to earth through the fullness of God. Find rest in this beautiful truth that the true rest of Christ, it fully satisfies. It has been personally offered to you. He came to you. He desires for you to rest in Him. So stop. Submit to His authority and learn from Him. Grow in relationship with your Creator and Savior. Contemplate on the works and words of God, all that He has done. Rejoice in the truth of the gospel, that we are broken and we have been restored and we will be restored in full. What an amazing truth. And so as we wrap up today, I just want to remind you that the rest offered by this world, it's a trap. It's a trap. It's a trap. Weariness. See, as we chase physical and material gain in the world, this is where they all stay. All the worldly things we accomplish, they will remain in the world. The work and toil of life only brings about more weariness. See, rest in Christ satisfies deeper than any physical craving we may have. Recognize the difference between laziness and rest. We cannot settle for physical laziness and distraction. Instead, stop, move towards rest in Christ. True restorative rest. Engage in growing relationship with your loving Creator. We can always find more material gain to pursue. There's always more to do. Don't live in this never-ending weariness of this world. Find spiritual rest in Christ, as this is the only rest that satisfies and restores in complete fullness. You have been offered this rest as a free gift, as Christ has pursued you. So enter into this. Rest in Christ. Let's pray. God, I just pray that as we are moving forward in our lives, God, that You are glorified, that we rest in You, that we are able to understand the difference between laziness and rest, the ways that we are trying to distract ourselves from the weariness of this world. God, I pray that we just lean into you, our need for you, for your spiritual restorative rest at work in our lives, God. We love you so much, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.